is your ship and you are the captain. Oh, captain, let's make a deal where we both say the things that we both really feel. I feel scared and I'm starting to sink, and I only sink deeper the deeper I think. Oh, captain, oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, captain, deal. Oh, wow. There are red spots under your eyes.
Chapter 6, The New Normal. Peak Lord meetings seemed totally unreal when Zhang Qinghua was a disciple. All those lofty immortal masters of unparalleled skill gathered to share their wisdom and decide the fate of the world below. Dressed in their elegant robes, with their deadly swords, and with their fancy hair, it looked so cool, breathtaking, heavenly, genuinely otherworldly. It was everything that airplanes shooting towards the sky had ever imagined and more. It was everything that a poor college student with grandiose ideas of being a historical fantasy writer could ever want, except only better. Like he'd been swept off his feet by high-rolling producers, determined to spare no expense in making proud immortal Demon Wei into the best drama of all time. Like they'd flown in the best of the best for costume design. Like they'd thrown a limitless budget at an award-winning production team. No expense had been spared while commissioning the props, the delicate and vibrant embroidery, the intricate layers of bright, high-quality fabrics, the rich yet subtle ornamentation, the gleaming, gilded sword sheaths, each costume and seating place unique to each Peak Lord. It seemed, after stumbling and clawing his way into Andang Peak, that Airplane had actually done something pretty cool, having any part whatsoever in making the truly peerless Zhang Chong Mountain Sect and its 12 immortal master Peak Lords happen. And then, you know, Zhang Qinghua realized that Peak Lord meetings were usually kind of boring, and that, despite these meetings being beautiful but boring, it was his responsibility to pay attention and take notes on logistics details for his teacher, instead of waxing poetic about the embroidery on the Qingjing Peak Lord's robes. If someone spouted a number or a name, he needed to jot it down, when he could instead be sketching Yue Qingyuan's noble yet melancholic countenance and daydreaming about all those extras he never got to write. It's super unfair. He's easily distractible when it comes to shiny things. He's the Peak Lord now, and he still has to take notes. He's got an assistant to help with that, sure. A lifesaver when he can't help but zone the fuck out. But he needs to take his own notes too, because he's now in charge of doing something with all the information he takes down. And he keeps getting ink stains on his sleeves. Fuck. It turns out that Tung Chong Mountain Sect, being the best and most famous cultivation sect in the known world, gets an endless barrage of requests, demands, threats, and whatnot. Not just when the plot requires it, in this realized version of Airplane's web novel, but every damn day. Anding Peak and Chongding Peak sort through the majority of the correspondence, delegating a wide variety of missions and requests across the peaks, otherwise writing polite refusals, redirections, and references. Most of the time, not everyone needs to have a say in everything. But they still have to have a regular sect-wide meetings. Zhang Qinghua sometimes meanly likes to think it's so the other Peak Lords can pretend they're at all involved in the logistics of Zhang Chong Mountain Sect. But there are plenty of external matters and internal matters that do require wider input and decisions by consensus. Minor Sect 1 needs some of Qiantao Peak's medicines and Zui Xian's Peak's purifying talismans to deal with a water-based plague, but the local officials don't want Tang Chong Mountain Sect involved. These other small town officials want cultivators from Wanjian Peak or Kuxing Peak to come deal with a cursed sword for them. But Minor Sect 2 wants Zhangchang Mountain Sect to stay out of their territory. Minor Sect 3 has a monster infestation and wants Xi Zhao Peak or Xianshu Peak to deal with it. And they'll throw a fit if anyone else shows up. Minor Sect 4 wants Qingjing Peak to consult on strategy for an incursion in the demon realm. And they want Baichan Peak cultivators to join them. Holy shit, arrogant much? Meanwhile, Minor Sect 5 and Minor Sect 6 are feuding, and they want sect leader Yue Qingyuan, famous for his calm composure and calming manner, among being an all-around bro and badass, to personally mediate their bullshit bickering. And so on and on and on and on. And pretty much all of this external business needs Anding Peak's help to make the magic happen. To order the necessary supplies, to organize the travel details, to get the mission information. Some Peak Lords prefer to handle most of the logistics of their missions personally, but there's always something they need. It's not always more work for Shangqing Hua directly, but it keeps Anding Peak a busy, busy, busy place. If Shangqing Hua could travel back in time and tell his past self one thing, he'd probably waste it on punching airplane shooting towards the sky forever going, who takes care of the food and the plumbing here? No one wants to read about these boring sorts of logistics in their stallion novels. Anding Peak takes care of it. Done. Given that this meeting is pretty non-life-threatening business, Shangqing Hua still manages to zone out enough to start idly sketching in the margins of his notes again. Once or twice during particularly boring meetings, he idly and accidentally started writing some ideas for Proud Immortal Demon Way extras or alternative story directions. And then he realized what he was doing, which, in a post-transmigration life, amounted to writing real-person fiction about his martial siblings. Hard panic hit his brain. He scratched everything he'd written immediately. He didn't want to see whatever horrible consequences would come from daring to write more material for the web novel he's currently living. He doesn't want to give the system any ideas. Second worst thing he's ever done, out of boredom, is start idly sketching, slightly lopsided and extremely incriminating pictures of Mo Beijun. Holy shit! He crumpled those notes up and burned them at the first available opportunity. He had to tell his master that he, lost the notes on the harvest. Fire ate his homework, Shifu. Sorry! He sticks to doodling little tree spirit princesses and ugly fire demons today. At least until his eyes start randomly stinging, thinking about yesterday. Quick, turn the page! Turn the page! Peak Lord meetings would probably suck less, though, if all these idle fix-it imaginings came true. Shangqing Hua thinks he would change so much about Proud Immortal Demon Way now if he could, to make for a better transmigration experience. Readers would be like, why is the random background character living like a king, bro? Except then Airplane would probably have ended up in a different and even shittier cannon fodder role. The meeting isn't that bad, as far as these things go. Could be worse. Once they get back to internal matters, Shangqing Hua has to give a presentation on the results of the investigation on the incident on Wanjian Peak. Yue Qingyuan is gratifyingly firm about following the new safety measures in regards to dangerous materials. Thanks, bro. Wei Qingwei and Chang Qingyan don't glare at each other, which is good, but only because they're refusing to look at each other, which is not good. Once the meeting ends, Shangqing Hua starts packing up, making mental notes about what to tell various subordinates about the reconstruction efforts on Wanjian Peak. Being so distracted, he nearly jumps a foot in the air when someone clears their throat directly behind him. He saw Ti Ching Ti leave the hall first. Did she learn to teleport to corner him about the Xianshu Peak landscaping project? Any fear that Shang Qinghua feels is between himself and his system, and it's not unreasonable. His martial siblings generally only come up to him after meetings because they want something, or because something has gone terribly, terribly wrong. Thankfully, it's just Liu Qingge. Shang Qinghua puts a hand to his chest and pats his poor, startled heart. Hang in there, heart bro. Just keep on hanging in there, he thinks. Aloud, he says, hello, Liu Shidi. The man hasn't dressed up formally for the Peak Lord meeting, but remains effortlessly good-looking and intimidating even so. Unfair. Liu Qingge crosses his arms and, not one for exuberant greetings, just says, Shang Qinghua. Aw, fuck. What's broken on Baichan Peak now? The whole mountain peak? Is the whole damn mountain peak broken this time? Shang Qinghua thinks. He's kind of waiting for that day. Liu Qingge will just be like, mountain broke. And Shang Qinghua will be like, what? And Liu Qingge will be like, mountain's broken. Come fix it. And Shang Qinghua will go over and Baichan Peak will be a pile of smoking rubble. So he'll rightfully be like, how the fuck did this even happen? And Liu Qingge, good old Liu Shidi, will just shrug. So then Shang Qinghua will go to Yue Qingyuan and be like, Zhangmen Shixiang, bro, am I supposed to source a new damn mountain now? And Yue Qingyuan will smile one of his pinched smiles and tightly say, it appears so, thanking Shang Shidi for his hard work in advance. And then their esteemed leader will be forced to go do reputation damage control with other sects, who will all be super judgy about Changchong Mountain Sect losing a mountain peak, leaving Shang Qinghua to import a new damn mountain, probably while their martial siblings sit on the sidelines and make unhelpful comments. Liu Qingge will, at worst, get a telling off and fly off into the wilderness to beat something up, like a war god's version of pouting. It's possible that Shang Qinghua has had some very specific logistics-related nightmares since transmigrating into his own web novel. Not all that weird or terrifying as far as nightmares go, really. Yes, maybe it's a little unrealistic, but given the improbable events of Airplane's web novel, he'd argue that it's not totally out there. There's no way to tell just by looking at Liu Qingge if the man is going to break nightmarish news here. Shang Qinghua doesn't know the man's scowls well enough. He's mostly sure Baichan Peak is fine, if only because a Chang Ding disciple would have noticed and come running in to whisper the news to their sect leader. Can I help you, Liu Shidi? Shang Qinghua wonders. Liu Qingge, never all that great with eye contact, seems to be glaring at Shang Qinghua's forehead.
Your sister-in-law,
the man says. Don't panic! Shang Qinghua thinks, already panicking. Yes? What about my sister-in-law?
Ah, is this the reason behind Shang Shidi's new weekly disappearances?
Says a new voice, devastatingly cultured and pointed.
Family matters?
Shang Qinghua startles again. Liu Qingge's scowl deepens. Well, if nothing else, Shang Qinghua will always know that Baichan Peak is still standing because Shun fucking Qinchu
hasn't made some wry comment about it to rile Liu Qingge up. The man won't let anyone else get that dig in first. The Lord of Qingjing Peak glides over, effortlessly elegant and cool and tall, really making Shang Qinghua feel his comparably average height here. The man is much more formally dressed than Shang Qinghua and Liu Qingge put together, and he comes over like he knows it, and like he knows they know it. He's beauty. He's grace. He makes Shang Qinghua want to abandon his face and jump out the nearest window. Shun Qingqiu, future scum villain of the story, ignores Liu Qingge completely as he comes to a stop beside them. By design, probably. And probably for the best, though Shang Qinghua tries not to quail under Shun Qingqiu's piercing, undivided attention. Ha ha, something like that, Shang Qinghua says, because it's either that or throw up his own heart onto the floor. How may I be of assistance, Shun Shixiang? All right, so Shang Qinghua has done a shitty job of hiding his disappearances. He's still been careful about making sure no one follows him to Sanqiao Town, but his regular extended disappearances have been noticed, and he's kind of let that happen. Hiding them is too much work. It's not so easy or urgent to hide them, compared to his much more dangerous and less frequent secret meetings with a demon lord. Shun Qingqiu smiles very faintly. Not a real smile. Like he knows everything Shang Qinghua doesn't want him to know. Well, he doesn't. Shang Qinghua would totally know if Shun Qingqiu knew. By the Xiu Ya sword through his chest, if nothing else.
One simply hopes that Shang Shidi is relaxing mindfully after his hard work and doing his utmost to maintain the best interests of the sect in his personal time,
Shun Qingqiu says, and it kind of sounds like a threat. Is that a threat? Oh, like Shun Qingqiu has any room to talk about sneaking off the mountain to relax. Liu Qingge's eyes narrow. Ha ha, the best interests of our sect are always foremost in my mind, Shang Qinghua says, smiling, trying not to grit his teeth. Don't butt into this, Liu Shidi. Thanking Shun Shixiang for his concern, as always, how may this hardworking, very busy Shidi help his hardworking, probably also very busy Shixiang? Shun Qingqiu stares him down, then reaches into his sleeve and pulls out a scroll.
Improved ventilation and scent control talismans for Shijiao Peak,
Shun Qingqiu announces.
The failing formations on their tannery and other workshops have recently been adding unnecessary difficulties to concentration on Qingjing Peak. The demonic nature of the raw materials is most likely to blame for the frequent erosion of their powers. I have accommodated for this.
Shang Qinghua accepts the scroll and opens it. True enough, there are several extremely beautiful talisman designs, each with detailed explanations of their complex construction. Oh, they're so nice. Shang Qinghua is pretty good at talismans. He could go on a long and blubbering rant about how nice and functional these talismans look. He's so envious. Shun Qingqiu is many things, and an exemplary scholar is, unfortunately, one of them. The man has the sort of calligraphy that a Westerner would get tattooed on their body, believing it was some piece of Confucian wisdom, not knowing that it was actually just a grocery list. It's just that beautiful. Shun Qingqiu has the sort of hand for calligraphy that you'd want to hang his work on your living room wall, even if he just wrote,
Get fucked by a cactus, asshole.
Wait, no. Shang Qinghua would unironically hang that text on his wall. Shun Qingqiu pulls a fan out of his sleeve and snaps it open with a clean flick and says coolly,
"One trusts that Shang Shurdi and his contemporaries on Anding Peak will be able to verify their effectiveness and deliver them to Wang Shurdi on Kuxiang Peak for replication."
Ah, fuck. Shang Qinghua re-rolls the scrolls, tucks it under his arm, bows, and says, "Thank you for going out of your way to assist your Shurdi in problem-solving this matter, Shun Shixiang. I'm certain that these new designs will be very effective. Please accept my apology for any disruption to Qingjing Peak's studies on behalf of both Wang Shurdi and Tang Shimei." Internally, he's thinking, "Fuck you, fuck you, fuck you." Shun Qingqiu smiles slightly, like he knows exactly what Shang Qinghua is thinking. Wang Qingjia, Lord of Kuxing Peak, is essentially a monk. He's the leader of the Ascetic Peak. Cultivators of Kuxing Peak practice an austere lifestyle focused on self-discipline and self-denial for spiritual improvement, and refrain from allowing earthly desires or emotions to impact their creation of talismans and other spiritual tools. When Shang Qinghua first met Wang Qingjia, he was like, "Oh, this guy has no facial expressions? Freaky. Okay." And then Shun Qingqiu floated onto the scene, and Shang Qinghua was like, "Oh, I thought throbbing forehead veins was an exaggeration everyone just used in writing. No, it's a real thing, apparently. Neat. Please don't have a stroke, Wang Shurdi." Oh, Wang Qingjia is going to be so insulted by this help. But Shang Qinghua can't refuse these talismans, because Xi Jiao Peak's failing talismans are quickly becoming a sect-wide problem, and Tang Qingling won't care who fixes it so long as it gets fixed. And Shang Qinghua shares that opinion. He won't risk picking off Shun Qingqiu just to save Wang Qingjia's ego. And Liu Qingge, convenient witness, won't lie to Yue Qingyuan to cover Shang Qinghua's ass here, even if it's to piss off Shun Qingqiu, because Liu Qingge is a bro who will not tell a lie. "I'll get this to Kuxing Peak as soon as possible," Shang Qinghua says weakly. Shun Qingqiu inclines his head.
"Qingjing Peak will be requiring a new logistics manager with Anding Peak," he announces, fluttering his fan almost lazily. "The current man has announced that he will be retiring from Tangchong Mountain Sect."
Shang Qinghua closes his eyes for several seconds. "That's the fourth one in 3 years, Shun Shixiang. The list of volunteers is dwindling." "I'll make a note," Shang Qinghua says. However, when he looks down at his notes, he realizes that he's just written, "Fuck!" "Yup. My, apologies for failing to find a cultivator who can properly attend to the needs of our peak of scholars and strategists," Shang Qinghua says, finally, trying to figure out who he can bully into the supposed-to-be-highly-desirable position next. A bolt of inspiration strikes him, inspired by Luo Jiahui's house-hunting inquiries. "Why don't I, put together a list of potential candidates, and perhaps Shun Shixiang can interview them himself to see whether they would suit Qingjing Peak? That way, after the next breakdown, Shun Qingqiu can't lay all the blame on him." Shun Qingqiu considers this.
"That would be agreeable," he decides,
surprisingly quickly, surprisingly easily.
I will send a disciple to Anding Peak for the list of candidates tomorrow.
That said, Shun Ching Chu turns on his heel and departs as suddenly and elegantly as he arrived. Without so much as a nod or backward glance to Liu Qingge, of course. Shang Qinghua is too relieved to really question it. Shun Ching Chu really doesn't look like a guy who had a qi deviation last week, Shang Qinghua thinks, enviously watching the man leave Changding Hall. Shun Ching Chu's formal robes are flowing beautifully, where Shang Qinghua would totally trip face first into the floor and break his nose. The man doesn't stumble. He doesn't show any weakness. At most, he's a little pale, but there's no visible unsteadiness. Shang Qinghua isn't supposed to know that Shun Ching Chu's cultivation faltered again recently, but he knows that Shun Ching Chu's most recent mission had to be handed off to Qi Qing Qi instead at the last minute. He also knows, from his own inquiries into cultivation-improving and cultivation-stabilizing plants, potions, and artifacts, that Mu Qingfang had to put in special orders recently relating to treating qi instability at the level of an immortal master. Shang Qinghua is the internet provider of Changchong Mountain Sect. If he wanted to be vintage about it, he would call himself its telephone operator. He's the online shopping cart, the moderator of an anonymous forum. He knows everything. He can connect the dots.
Shang Shuri,
says another voice. Ah, dots connected. So that's why Shun Ching Chu booked it out of here like that. Zhongmen Shixiang, Shang Qinghua replies cheerily. How can I be of assistance? Yue Qingyuan smiles at him, much more pleasantly than their martial brother, and Shang Qinghua seriously wishes that all of his martial brothers weren't stupidly tall. He's not that short, but he's going to get another crick in his neck at this rate, and Mu Shudi will berate him for bad posture again. Ergonomic desk setups aren't easy to find in Proud Immortal Demon Way, Mu Shudi. Be reasonable.
I am not currently in need of further assistance,
Yue Qingyuan says pleasantly.
I only wish to inquire after our hard-working Shudi's well-being and to thank him once again for his work on Wanjian Peak. I'm sure Wei Shudi is very grateful.
Shang Qinghua doubts that, but okay. Ha ha, I'm as well as can be. Thank you.
And how is Shang Shudi's sister-in-law? His family is well.
Very well. Settling in very well. Shang Qinghua agrees, more sincerely, thinking fondly of the Luo home's delicious smells and cozy laughter. The situation was a little not good, haha, so I'm very glad that I was able to take the time away from the sect and bring my sister-in-law here safely. Yue Qingyuan's smile falters for a split second, then becomes noticeably forceful.
How fortunate,
he agrees, still pleasantly. Shang Qinghua mentally reviews what he just said and, oh shit. Oh, shit! At this moment, Yue Qingyuan and Shang Qinghua stand there and smile forcibly. Shang Qinghua knows exactly why Yue Qingyuan has been suddenly stricken by emotion. But Yue Qingyuan does not and cannot know that Shang Qinghua knows about the man's failure to go rescue Shun Ching Chu from their shitty backstory. There's nothing really to do but stand there and wish desperately that this awkward conversation had never happened.
Please let it be known if there is anything the Marshall family can do to lessen Shang Shudi's responsibilities, even temporarily.
Yue Qingyuan says finally,
please excuse me, Shang Shudi, Liu Shudi, I have matters to see to now concerning our affiliated sects.
Sure, no problem, Zhang Qinghua says. Have a good one, Zhongmen Shuxiang. Shit, that didn't sound natural at all. Fuck! Luckily, sect leader Yue Qingyuan, all-around bro and badass, flees Chengding Hall as quickly as Shen Qingqiu did, probably to tend to his own garbage fire of unresolved personal history. At least Zhang Qinghua shoving his foot in his mouth again isn't reviving deep emotional damage to his Shuxiang the second time. Probably. Liu Qingge is still here. Ah, sorry, Liu Shudi. What did you want again? Zhang Qinghua is pretty much at his limit for today. He's at his fucking limit. Baichan Peak had better still be standing. Liu Qingge uncrosses his arms, putting one on his sword.
Luo Jiahui and her son, he says. They're well?
Very well, Zhang Qinghua promises again. They have a new house, and sister-in-law has taken up meditation. She's cooking lots and making lots of friends. I'm kind of jealous, haha. Except Binghe called me uncle for the first time yesterday, so that was good. He's really close to walking on his own, too. Sister-in-law thinks we'll see his first steps sometime very soon, which is also good. Oh, shit. What is he doing? Why is he saying this? Is he becoming one of those people who doesn't do anything except talk about their babies and post endlessly on social media about how cute they are? Him? Airplane shooting towards the sky? Who is he becoming? Liu Qingge just nods.
Good,
he agrees. Shall I tell sister-in-law that you asked after her? I'm sure that she'll be flattered to hear that Liu Shidi asked after her and Binghe.
Yes, well wishes to them and their new home,
Liu Qingge says. Aha, will do then. Maybe you can visit sometimes. Liu Qingge leaves after that, with a final nod serving as his goodbye. Probably to go beat up his fellow Baichan cultivators, and then fly off into the wilderness again. And Zhang Qinghua is left, essentially alone, in Chengding Hall. All of the other peak lords have filed out to return to their own peaks or some other business. The only people left are some Chengding Peak disciples, clearing away the personalized seating, arriving with mops and brooms to clean the floors. Zhang Qinghua steps aside for one of the Chengding Peak disciples, clearly anxious to clean up after Anding Peak. With a defeated sigh, Zhang Qinghua leaves for Anding Peak, mentally preparing himself for a later visit to Kuxing Peak to ruin Wang Qingjia's day. All in a day's work at Tang Chong. Zhang Qinghua, well-versed in instruments of improving cultivation, ranging from soothing placebos to straight-up cheating by all standards, has been making notes about what he can pass off as non-suspicious gifts to Luo Jiahui. Teas and spices to strengthen spiritual energy for her kitchen, plants to encourage clarity for her garden, salts and medicinal salves to soothe the spiritual veins for her baths, that sort of thing. He wouldn't be depriving anyone at Zhangchong Mountain Sect of these things by bringing them to Luo Jiahui, after all. Qian Chao Peak has all of these solutions and more. Non-cultivators can buy these things so they can feel enlightened and worldly. If any martial siblings are suffering from unstable cultivation due to how resentment and stress can be amplified alongside power, then that's not Zhang Qinghua's fault. That's the fault of those particular martial siblings who would apparently rather stubbornly embrace their fatal flaws and embody a wholly avoidable, thematically relevant tragedy instead of humbling themselves in any way. On Shang Qinghua's next visit to the Luo home, the latest story of brave hero Binga focuses on this very important life lesson. They say that one shouldn't set themselves on fire to keep other people warm, but one also shouldn't light on fire to get other people to back off either. One shouldn't purposefully be on fire for anything, really. And so the young lady of light and the young lady of shadows decided to put all the betrayals and misunderstandings in the past, because if they were too busy fighting each other and being mean to each other, then they couldn't be brave hero Binga's friends. And Binga was a very good friend to have. Even demons like the young ladies of light and shadow could learn to put aside silly arguments and get along, you know. Luo Bingha, sitting on the floor across from him, is too busy focusing on stacking his growing collection of soft wooden blocks. Shang Qinghua reaches over to add another block to the tower to help out, and Luo Bingha immediately knocks it off with a flail. Shang Qinghua sighs. Yeah, looks like this moralistic tale is going far over the head of his audience here. Too forced. He was never really one for preaching about morality in his web novels. Not one to write stories in which people recognize their mistakes and strive to make the world a better place. The original Proud Immortal Demon Way is pretty clearly an example of that. Very much a revenge story with miserable lessons, if there are any lessons to be learned there. Like, most often the world is an ugly, might-makes-right place. And suffering doesn't make good and kind people. And the man who has everything still can't buy happiness. Sorry, anti-fans, no heartwarming tales here. Demons? Shang Qinghua freezes, then looks over his shoulder. Luo Jiahui is standing in the kitchen, reorganizing her shelves to store the new spiritually calming candles Shang Qinghua brought her today, staring at him with a confused expression. Shang Qinghua feels equally confused. Kind of a non sequitur there, isn't it? What about demons, sister-in-law? Shang Qinghua asks. You said that the young ladies of light and shadow were demons, Luo Jiahui says. Shang Qinghua mentally rewinds, then thinks, oh shit. Well, demons can learn to get along with each other too, right? He offers finally. It only occurs to him after he said this that he should have just claimed it was a slip of the tongue. He should have just said that his brain fed him the wrong word there. Fuck, he's really off his game lately. Can they? Luo Jiahui asks. She doesn't look hostile, though. Really just very confused. I've never met a demon before, Luo Jiahui admits. I don't think you should, haha. Their reputation is pretty well deserved most of the time, Shang Qinghua offers, hoping that he isn't digging himself a really deep hole here. But not all of them are that bad. Sometimes they're just different, and they just want to get on with their lives like everyone else. Some of them are, just plain evil, though. But the same can kind of be said of humans, too, huh? Luo Jiahui thinks about it. Not all humans are good people, she agrees slowly. But I thought that demons were more like monsters. Some of them are, but some of them are indistinguishable from normal people, Shang Qinghua says, before realizing that this may be completely the opposite of reassuring. Demons walking among humans is definitely not comforting. So he switches tracks. I'm pretty sure that Tang Chong Mountain sect does trade with demons, you know? Usually through a lot of middlemen, I think, and by not asking questions sometimes, because openly trading with demons is not a good look for any righteous sect. But there are some things we can only get from the demon realm, and trading with demons is a lot easier than sending people in looking for the goods we need.
Luo Jiahui looks more interested than uncertain now.
Like what?
Oh, special monster parts for creating spiritual tools, rare plants for medicines, demon silkworms for silk, that sort of thing. Not all of them are warriors. Some of them keep livestock, hunt monsters, mine for minerals. Lots of the same things that humans do, he answers, thinking wistfully back to all the fun world-building he did for his web novel, before he lost his outline and spreadsheets and references, and just sort of gave up. An arguably better time, long before he transmigrated into this deadly, deadly world.
What sort of things do demons want from us? Luo Jiahui asks curiously.
Human flesh, Shang Qinghua does not answer.
Oh, the same sort of things we want from them. Craft goods, mostly, I think. Plants and animals they can't get in the demon realm sometimes. Lots of, traders near the border don't ask a lot of questions about who they're selling to or buying from, even if they really should be asking that sort of thing.
Ah, that reminds me. I still need to talk to one of my martial siblings about those barrels of acid rain from the demon realm. Wei Shixiang wanted some from the eastern kingdoms, not the southern kingdoms. He said so in the meeting.
Shang Qinghua looks around for his papers to make a note, and Luo Jiahui picks them up from her dining table and comes over to hand them to him.
Brother-in-law, here.
Ah, thank you.
Shang Qinghua scribbles the reminder down, and Luo Jiahui sits down beside him. The scribbling attracts Luo Bingha's interest, and the baby, Airplane's protagonist's son, and Shang Qinghua's fake nephew, crawls over to try and grab the writing utensil.
Ha ha, please don't, Shang Qinghua says, lifting his papers out of reach.
No, no, Bing Bing, let your Uncle Shang write.
Luo Bingha says, and tries to crawl into Shang Qinghua's lap to keep reaching.
Shang Qinghua has no idea what to do. Generally, he does not hold the baby. This is for the best, even though he generally likes the baby. If he does not hold the baby, then he won't accidentally drop the baby. He will also be better able to avoid coming into contact with all unpleasant bodily fluids.
Bingha is really small. Here, brother-in-law, let me take him.
No, it's fine. He's not heavy.
Shang Qinghua reaches up to put his papers out of reach again, freeing his hands to help Luo Bingha clamber over his knees. Unfortunately, the protagonist doesn't seem to want help. As soon as little Bing Bing manages to plop himself into Shang Qinghua's lap, he realizes that the thing he wanted is gone and starts screaming.
Wow! Ouch! Shang Qinghua is becoming more used to the sounds of a crying baby, but he definitely hasn't learned to like the sound.
Please take him! Please take him!
Luo Jiahui scoops her baby up and starts distracting and comforting him.
Bing Bing, is that how you're going to make friends with demons? Behaving like one?
She jokes, with a hesitant smile towards Shang Qinghua.
Shh, shh. Are you angry that you don't get to play with Uncle Shang's writing things? You just want to do what Uncle Shang is doing, don't you?
Bingha's screaming is coaxed back down to babyish grumbling. Shang Qinghua really shouldn't be surprised that Luo Jiahui is open-minded enough to believe that demons can be good people. Kinda goes with the rest of her character. If she turned out to be a diehard demon hater, then...
Oh, fuck, that would have been really fucking bad.
But that's apparently not the case. So,
Unforeseen crisis effortlessly averted. Nice.
Zhang Qinghua only remembers to mention getting stopped by Liu Qingge at the Peak Lord meeting near to the very end of his visit. The important thing is that he remembered to deliver Liu Qingge's concern and well wishes at all, right? Right. Luo Jiahui goes wide-eyed, slack-jawed, and then, once she fixes her expression, turns slightly pink.
That's very nice of him, she trills. I didn't expect. Master Liu is a very kind man to be worrying about us, as to be expected of such a devoted big brother and filial son.
Ha ha, yeah, sure, Zhang Qinghua says, thinking about Bai Chan's war god's latest dunking of all of his disciples earlier this week. The Bai Chan monthly beatdown. He's like 80% certain that he's seen a drawing of a ponytailed stick figure pinned to the wall in Mu Qingfang's office with needles sticking out of it, at least twice in the past year. Alas, there's just no arguing with Bai Chan Peak's knuckleheaded traditions. I told him maybe he could drop by to visit, but...
You what?
Zhang Qinghua falters.
He's not often on the mountain. What?
Luo Jiahui has jumped up from her seat, picking up Bingha's toys from the floor and throwing them into her bedroom before rushing to take stock of the contents of her kitchen, like a young woman possessed.
The house! I haven't had anyone over to visit yet. Not for long. No one except brother-in-law and granny's son. The house is still being furnished properly. It's not ready for a peak lord to visit.
I'm a peak lord? Zhang Qinghua says, slightly insulted. Already lost again.
What would I even serve him? Luo Jiahui demands. I don't have any good teas. I need better tea. I need to go shopping for more food, too. When is he arriving? Did he say when he was coming?
Ah. Zhang Qinghua hastily explains that Liu Qingge has no idea where Luo Jiahui lives. Zhang Qinghua did not actually issue an invitation, and Liu Qingge seemed open to the idea of being issued an invitation at some unknown point in the future. No need to panic, sister-in-law.
Oh, Luo Jiahui says, and carefully replaces the chipped dish she was apparently going to throw out the window in a panic, rather than let Liu Qingge see it.
Liu Shidi has shown up to Peak Lord meetings straight from the road with blood in his hair, Zhang Qinghua says finally. I don't think he's that picky about what he eats, or whether or not he eats it on a silk pillow, sister-in-law. Not all peak lords are so fussy, you know.
Luo Jiahui, flushing an even deeper pink, worriedly pats down her dress and hair. Well, brother-in-law has already seen me at... Brother-in-law is an exception.
Zhang Qinghua thinks that's a compliment.
It definitely makes him feel warm and fuzzy.
If this was Madame Liu coming to visit, I'd agree with sister-in-law's panic. Totally. Ha ha. Now there's a story. But Liu Shidi won't judge sister-in-law or her home, Zhang Qinghua promises. Then he allows himself to waggle his eyebrows and say, would sister-in-law like me to invite Liu Shidi over for a casual dinner properly?
Luo Jiahui presses her hands to her mouth, looking very much like a teenager. That would be nice, she says finally. I would appreciate the chance to thank Master Liu for his escort.
So, the next time that Zhang Qinghua comes to visit, he ends up bringing Liu Qingge with him. It's lucky that the man returned to the mountain to report on his latest mission. Zhang Qinghua doesn't have to work at all to persuade the war god to come to a casual dinner. The man agrees immediately.
but he does have to wheedle a little to convince Liu Qingge to be a little more sneaky about it. Liu Qingge, designed for stealth in the same way a wrecking ball is designed for stealth, which is to say, stealth wasn't a consideration in the slightest, eventually agrees that Luo Jiahui deserves her privacy from potentially nosy Anding Peak disciples. Zhang Qinghua considers commenting on Luo Jiahui's new decorations and dishware when they arrive, but she shoots him a surprisingly deathly glare when Liu Qingge isn't looking. So Zhang Qinghua throws up his hands and grinningly leaves it be. If his fake sister-in-law wants to put up a good front for the pretty Baichan war god, then Zhang Qinghua won't wreck it. Liu Qingge is a surprisingly considerate guest. He brings Luo Jiahui a basket of rare fruit, sparkly and golden-shelled starfruit-like things, which enthrall baby Luo Binghe immediately, and she thanks him profusely for his thoughtfulness before serving up the exotic and delicious tea that Zhang Qinghua brought her to serve. A tea blend, which just so happens to be very good for cultivation. Very calming, too. Which, haha, Zhang Qinghua thinks would be very beneficial for his martial brother, who may or may not die of a devastating qi deviation in about 13 years. He also brought wine, which is also supposed to foster healthy spiritual pathways. Luo Jiahui carries most of the conversation, asking after Liu Qingge's adventures and after Liu Mingyan again. Liu Qingge soon relaxes in a way that Zhang Qinghua has never really seen on the man before, probably because they don't really hang out outside of Peak Lord meetings, which obviously suck, and the occasional mission, which, if it involves multiple Peak Lords, is almost certainly extremely stressful or unpleasant. Luo Jiahui really is apparently a natural hostess. She doesn't seem to mind Liu Qingge's generally brisk way of speaking, especially when he's complimenting her heavenly cooking. Liu Qingge is coaxed into sharing another little Mingyan story, which is exciting. Apparently, being nearly 4 years old now, Liu Mingyan has taken to reading when she doesn't want to do something. She only recognizes a handful of characters, of course, unreliably, but that doesn't stop her from turning the pages and pretending that she's too busy for her parents. Lately, she's also taken to making up her own stories while turning through books as further proof that she's reading. Liu Qingge has therefore taken to allowing his baby sister to read to him when he visits. A good bro has got to back up his little sis.
Mother came in to tell Mingyan it was time for exercising in the garden, like a good daughter. I told her that Mingyan was too busy reading to me while I recovered from my injury, like a good sister.
Liu Qingge says, with a now familiar fondness. What did Madame Liu say to that? Zhang Qinghua asks, genuinely curious, as he pours more wine for himself and his martial brother. Sister-in-law, still breastfeeding, isn't drinking.
Mother said, oh, let's hear Mingyan read to her brother then.
Luo Jiahui laughs. Oh no, what did she do?
Mingyan opened the book and told a very good story about two cranes getting married until she ran out of pages. Liu Qingge answers, the book had many illustrations of birds inside, all of whom came to the crane's wedding.
What was it really about? Zhang Qinghua asks.
It was one of father's bird-watching journals. It said so on the cover.
Oh, dear. What did your mother say? Luo Jiahui demands.
She said, ah, Mingyan's reading really is improving. Now that she's finished the book for her poor bedridden brother like a good sister, She can come exercise in the garden like a good daughter.
Luo Jiahui bursts out laughing again. Shang Qinghua snorts. And it occurs to him, in this moment, pushing cultivation, improving wine on his martial brother, that he sort of likes Liu Qingge now. The man generates so much work on Anding Peak, true, but he's reliable with his missions and eventually straightforward about his problems. And he's pretty good company once he relaxes. Shang Qinghua is probably going to have to step it up and figure out how to save Liu Qingge's life properly, because at this rate, Luo Jiahui will be devastated if the man dies. And Shang Qinghua will be kind of sad too. The guy doesn't deserve becoming angsty backstory fodder. Shang Qinghua makes a mental note to start having Golden Finger cultivation stabilizing items delivered to Changchong Mountain Sect in double order bulk. If Luo Binghe grows up a little less blackened, then Liu Qingge living won't be a problem to the plot, right? Ah! Luo Binghe announces, holding out a chubby hand to Liu Qingge. Liu Qingge, accepting more wine from Shang Qinghua, looks at the protagonist's hand.
Oh, Bing Bing,
Luo Jiahui says, reaching to stop him.
Master Liu doesn't want your...
It's fine, Liu Qingge says, with the same ease with which he unconventionally invited Luo Binghe to sit at the dinner table with them. Like, it really is fine. He reaches out and accepts Luo Binghe's offering, which looks to be a slightly soggy piece of rice cracker.
Gross.
Thank you,
Liu Qingge says very seriously. Luo Binghe beams at him and babbles at his uncertain and embarrassed mama, and Liu Qingge immediately sneaks the soggy piece of rice cracker back onto the baby's plate. Ah, clearly a man experienced with the ways of babies. War god Liu Qingge really is capable of stealth and deception after all, when the occasion calls for it. Luo Jiahui smiles gratefully at the man. Liu Qingge smiles back. Luo Jiahui outdid and overdid herself with the dinner for Liu Qingge. So both Shang Qinghua and Liu Qingge leave loaded down with extra food. More than usual. Shang Qinghua has given up on convincing Luo Jiahui that Tangchong Mountain Sect really does feed him. His fake sister-in-law could just look at his not-willowy figure to know it. But she's perfectly happy to pretend to suddenly go temporarily blind as well as deaf. Halfway up to Tangchong Mountain Sect, Shang Qinghua and Liu Qingge part ways for their separate mountain peaks with more friendliness than, well, they've probably shown each other in all the past years combined. See you around, Liu Shudi. Please don't break your mountain, Liu Qingge rolls his eyes, very obviously, then slaps Shang Qinghua on the shoulder.
Ow!
You have a good family,
Liu Qingge says. Thank you? And the man flies off, completely oblivious to the fact that Luo Jiahui and Luo Binghe are not really Shang Qinghua's family, just as he's oblivious to the ever-encroaching plot. A backup plan occurs. Shang Qinghua straight up tattles to Mu Qingfeng when the time comes, if necessary. He'll take the point loss for a plot hole if there is one. Shang Qinghua heads back to Anding Peak alone, not too late in the evening, and can't bring himself to be surprised when Disciples Dumpling Thief and Dumpling Thief's friend are back. They're not pretending to sweep this time, though. Instead, now openly waiting for him. The little pair of beggars bow, instead of outright mugging him, at least. Shifu, Qi Shugu came by your office earlier, Disciple Dumpling Thief reports. She did? What did she want?
She didn't say, Disciple Dumpling Thief's friend tells him. I think she's still there. Shang Ching Hua doesn't curse in front of the impressionable disciples, even though he's pretty sure he's done it before, and unloads some of Luo Jiahui's food onto them. They accept it with eager hands. Good work, he says. Bring the container back to my leisure house this time.
Yes, Shifu.
Because he's idly curious, before they scurry off, Shang Ching Hua finds himself asking,
do you two really eat all the food yourselves? I remember being a hungry disciple. I get it. But do you ever share with your martial siblings?
The disciples exchange a look.
I save some of it for bribes sometimes. I got a Chengding Peak disciple to look over my Shuqia's paperwork first instead of putting it at the bottom of the stack,
Disciple Dumpling Thief's friend offers.
That's something. Very clever, Shang Ching Hua decides. Ah, off with you. Shoo!
He changes course from his leisure house to his main office, unwilling to leave Chi Ching Chi near his desk any longer, and definitely not wanting to encourage her to show up at his house looking for him. He doesn't want to deal with the Shanshu Peak Lord so late, but he'd rather just get this over with. While he's still got a little liquid courage in him. If this is about the landscaping project again, he's probably going to lose his mind, but that's fine. He's not expecting to find his younger martial sister with her hands on, of all his documents, the picture books he's been planning, in between doing the accounting. Chi Ching Chi's head snaps up like a disciple caught snooping through desk drawers. Shang Ching Hua stares at her in silence. Chi Ching Chi's straightens, expression neutral.
I didn't know that you wrote, Shang Shixiang.
I dabble, airplane shooting towards the sky says.
I see,
Chi Ching Chi says, with narrowed eyes, and lets her fingers trace over the simplified sketches of fire demons and tree spirits.
What is this for?
My nephew, Shang Ching Hua admits. And my sister-in-law. She's learning to read.
He thinks that Luo Jiahui may have exaggerated her reading abilities to him, just a little bit, to save his feelings about giving her books. Which is fine. He saw papers filled with shaky lines of pretty simple characters in her house, so it looks like she didn't lie to him about getting to work learning more. Shang Ching Hua thought it was a shame that picture books weren't so easily available in this world, so she could practice while reading to her baby, and yeah. Anyway, can I help you, Chi Shimei?
I found an arborist who may be able to offer insight into the current landscaping issues.
Chi Ching Chi says, gesturing towards a new scroll sitting on Shang Ching Hua's desk. She then shuffles a different piece of paper out from underneath a stack.
I also took the liberty of editing your work while waiting to speak with you.
Oh,
you have a habit of repeating yourself unnecessarily.
Ah, thanks.
Xianshu Peak holds literature to be an important part of cultivation.
Oh, totally. Very important.
Chi Ching Chi and Shang Ching Hua stare at each other some more. Very awkward.
Was that everything?
For now,
Chi Ching Chi allows.
Good evening, Shang Shixiang.
Right. Good night.
Chi Ching Chi sweeps out, leaving Shang Ching Hua alone in his office. He sets the remaining containers from Luo Jiahui aside, and with a mixture of curiosity and dread, he looks over the edits Chi Ching Chi has so neatly suggested. Surprisingly, Judgment neutral for Cheating Tea. Airplane Shooting Towards the Sky has never had an editor in his life. Having an editor would have required A, friends willing to donate their time to editing his shitty stallion web novels, or B, money to hire someone to spend time editing shitty stallion web novels. He didn't do much editing himself because, well, the process really would have eaten too much of his writing time. The readers always wanted more, more, more. Zhang Qinghua nearly jumps out of his skin at an unexpected digital ding. Shit! A system window pops up in front of his desk. Zhang Qinghua stares at it. I was having a pretty good day, you know. Come on, bro. The system window just hangs there. It's too late for this. Come back tomorrow. We're closed for the day. Zhang Qinghua tries. The system window, if anything, gets slightly larger. Ah, shitty system. Zhang Qinghua sighs, gives up, and reads it properly. Well, he skims it, at least. This same message again, he complains.
System upgrade required. Due to prolonged proximity to the protagonist, host has become eligible for a complimentary system upgrade. It is strongly recommended that the system be upgraded to avoid performance issues and to improve plot continuity. Current system model, BKG CHAR 1.0. Required system model, SPT CHAR 1.0. Upgrade now, upgrade later.
Fuck you, Zhang Qinghua mutters, glaring at the pop-up window. Why isn't don't upgrade an option, huh? Bro, what's with this customer service? The functionality is no good. Don't upgrade ever should be an option. He hits the upgrade later button again. It takes about 3 seconds for the same window to pop up. Again! Ding!
System upgrade required. Due to prolonged proximity to the protagonist, host has become eligible for a complimentary system upgrade. It is strongly recommended that the system be upgraded to avoid performance issues and to improve plot continuity. Current system model, BKG CHAR 1.0. Required system model, SPT CHAR 1.0. Upgrade now, upgrade later.
Fuck you! Why are you like this, bro? Zhang Qinghua demands. What if I don't want more frequent missions and improved mission assistance and whatever the fuck bonus achievements and UA quest paths are? What if I don't want to see what the improved version of mission goal survive is? Why can't we just stick to you refusing to give me perks and extra points because granting the protagonist a less tragic backstory and emotional stability apparently isn't inherently desirable. He hits the upgrade later button again, harder this time, and waits. After about 30 seconds, when it looks like the system might actually be a bro for once, he lets his shoulders slump. Then he sits down at his desk and puts his forehead against its surface. Ding! I am going to give you the worst review someday, bro, Zhang Qinghua promises.